Thumbs up on all ends, okay. All right. We've quoted many times from Rav Chaim Volozhiner in Nefesh HaChayim, when he says that when a person is involved in Limud HaTorah, so of course they're supposed to be involved in the Amkas HaTorah, the depth and the working of Olam Shel Torah, and to work through the sugyas and to figure out everything, all the godless, the wonderful sugyas of Torah Kedoshah. But they shouldn't really be sitting around and contemplating, you know, spiritually, you know, dvekas, that kind of stuff. But it's not going to fly, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner. You're trying to learn a sugya about, you know, Vigal Hoitzi or something, or Sveik Sveika, Itam Rov, you know, to think that you're going to have, you're going to be able to at the same time, you know, to get your guitar and have a kumzitz and sing a niggun, it just doesn't happen. It doesn't mean that these sugyas don't bring you to an unbelievable closeness to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It just means that b'shas lomdus, b'shas tevekas. You have to know how to, what to do when. But nevertheless, even Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the ultimate misnagin, Rav Shiva Volozhiner, concedes that it would be a very, very good idea, he says, every once in a while, we should take a stop a little bit. I don't know, literally or figuratively close your Gemara. But just begin to contemplate and to think about what we're doing, about the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, about Avos Hashem Yisbarach, about the great gift that we have in front of our very eyes, just to be able to be involved in Limud HaTorah. So every once in a while you have to start that. So I remember a couple of years when Yeshiva was living by Metzia, so we were about to start the sugya of Tokfer Kohen and Avav. It's a very, very complicated sugya with a lot of lumdas. It took us weeks and weeks to go through. So we stopped for a minute or two and we gave that, I remember I shared those words of Chaim Volozhiner. I don't think we had a kumzitz together, but we had a little bit of, you know, a shiur rally a little bit to try to get into the right frame of mind. The only reason why I remember that I did it that sugi because in the official notes were printed up towards the Bar Metzia, it has that as the introduction to Tachva Kray, and it says it was at this point that Rebbe ran a kumzitz or something, that Rebbe decided to everyone to sing Avarava together. So I don't think we're going to do that right now, but it definitely is an appropriate time. It's an appropriate time because Baruch Hashem, it's in West Cholof. Many of us, we're getting back into things. We've been maybe a little bit out of it for a couple of days or weeks or so. And it's really, really kedai for a person to just give a little bit, get a little bit of a sense of appreciation of just what we're trying to accomplish. So we still haven't started shiur yet. By the time we finish all the introduction, it's going to be 12 o'clock already. But the introduction now to the introduction to the introduction leads us as follows. We've also pointed out in the past, I don't remember what we gave, I think we gave a shmuz about this not all that long ago, the famous comments of the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Me'ilah, ring a bell, b'chuk ha'mishpatim. A couple of weeks ago or so we spoke about this. But the Rambam talks about that there really are two different halakhs of Torah. There's the chukim, there are the chukim, and there are the mishpatim. The chukim are almost like the religious laws that we don't really understand what they're all about. Then you have dinim amenas, the hardcore, dry dinim amenas, you know, shomrim and gezeilas and genevas and masik, that kind of stuff. And at first glance, they're two different halakhs of Torah. The Rambam develops a whole yisayin in the end of Hilchos Me'ilah that the underlying principle behind both of them is that just as the mishpatim are understood that they are l'tu'elas ha'olam, we cannot conceive a world without mishpatim, so we should not be able to conceive a world without chukim either. Chukim are so chashuv, they're so significant to us, that even if we don't understand quite all the nuances and the details of them, but we have such chashivah, such appreciation for the chukim ha'Torah, that we view them in the same light as we view the mishpatim. That's the Rambam's breakthrough in Hilchos Me'ilah. So perhaps, as an introduction to the next sugya, I think we could almost take us one step further, the notion of Tichuk Mishpatim. And we sometimes think that there are different Halachim of Torah. There's Shabbos and, you know, Shabbos and Erev and Pesachim in one corner, then there are the Babas in the other corner. And there's, you know, Hilchos Yomtiv, Hilchos Kashrus, Hilchos Nid in one corner, and then there's the intricacies of Shomrim and Yerushas and Mazik and Genevas in the other corner. And we don't always get to see the beauty, the picture of Kol HaTorah Kula coming together. David HaMelech observes about Torah, Teres HaShem Tzvim, Shivas Nafesh, that the only kind of Torah It's Meshiva Nefesh, the only kind of Torah that gives us that love and that desire and that Dveikus B'Hashem Yisbarach that we're ultimately all striving for, is only with the Torah Hashem Tamima. When you view the Torah Kadesh as one unit, as one entity, there are different halakhim of Torah, but kulam nitnu mera echad, that they were all given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaChmosai is able to put into a Torah areas that seem to have nothing to do with each other. Mamish is zero. What in the world is the connection between Nuchas Kashrus and Nuchas Shemrin? What am I in Nuchas Shabbos, Nuchas Mazik? What do they do with anything? And then as you delve deeper into Torah, you realize that Torah Hashem Tamim Mishim is Nafesh. That the Torah HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tamima, it is perfect, it is whole. That every single part of Torah interlocks and interrelates to another. That there are no different compartments of Torah. It's all one beautiful, beautiful picture, one beautiful mosaic, one beautiful picture that Hashem gave us. And it just behooves us, Torah, Lam Deditzach, it's right in front of our very eyes. So with all those introductions, I think we're now able to tackle the next sugya. Because if you ask yourselves, what area of Torah we're learning this year? So the answer would be, I think my Gemara says, Maseches Pesachim. So if you would come into our Shiach BDD with him, Maseches Pesachim, we're going to talk a lot about Petikas Chometz, which is true. We're going to talk a lot about Bayer Rav Emotze, which is also true. We're going to talk about Isur Yachilus. Those are all true. But maybe you didn't realize that we're going to learn this year also a Sugaz of Hefker, a Sugaz of Shomrim, a Sugaz of Yiyush. So those were with us the first half of the year realized we spent a good portion of the year on that. Why? You cannot understand the mitzvah tashbisu without understanding what hefker is. You cannot understand what bayrovi motzei is unless you understand what bailus is. You can't understand the chelak of arichaim. You can't understand the chukim without understanding the mishpatim. The mishpatim and the chukim they merge together. The ochachmas Hashem Yisbarach. And perhaps many of the sugyas that we've been zayich to learn and will continue to learn will lead us down the path of understanding how we have to become. Really understand Havanas HaTorah of Mishpatim, understand the Nezikin, understand the Sugyas of Kamba, Mitzvah, Masra, and then and only then do we have a fighting chance to understand Vos Mein Tashbisu. You can't sit down to your Seder and have Erev Techa Matzahs if you don't understand what Bailos and Matzah means. You can't go and burn your Chometz in Erev Pesach if you don't understand what Bailos means, what Hefka means, what Yush means, what Bittul means, what Abishusa means. So this is a sugya that's par excellence is going to merge the two together, and that's all the introductions are over. Now we're ready to actually begin to learn. So we pick up on the Hamad Beis exactly where we left off. Not much exactly where we left off. The last sugya we were talking about that there was a starting point concerning the issur of owning chametz on Pesach. Exactly what those words mean. That the issur is owning chametz on Pesach. The issur is lo yira lecha. That is the key word. Lecha is a critical word. It defines the very essence of bayra v'motzei. If I simply have chametz in my rishus on Pesach, that is not necessarily going to be awesome. Now, some of you may remember there was a major machlekes Rashi with the Ge'enim and Eisalach. That's another Jew's chametz. There's another world. Not for now. Don't forget it, but not for now. But the starting point is you have to own chametz. And especially if the chametz belongs to a guy, that's like a no-brainer. That is the Ter Shebapeh. Azoi shteit, azoi nimzal meishaveinu, ish v'pishak meishaveinu, lo yiro l'cha. This week's parasha, we're learning chumash right. It's already Tuesday, we're already learning chumash right. Lo yiro l'cha, shachor yataroya, v'ataroya shalachayim shalgavaya, Nechem is a goy is chametz, is perfectly permissible of both, and I'm in the Rabbanah to me in my Rishos and Pesach. Nevertheless, the Teshuvah Pet tells us that there is one exception to this rule. There is one case where even a goy's chametz cannot be in my Rishos, and that is a chametz shalat, Rabbi say, shekibol ha, shekibol ha-chareis. If the Jew accepts a chareis on the chametz, that's a problem. That's a huge problem. Now, what does Achrayus mean? Oh my goodness, that was last sugya. Achleikis Tumibe, Achleikis Abishay. If we remember, what are the three possibilities? It's not that hard. There are only three possible degrees of Achrayus. Some Mishayim say, whatever you say, you're going to be right. Some say, Shem Masoch, good. Some say, what? Shemachidim. Some say, sure, good. Okay, there is no other option. Good. So there are three different possibilities. Everyone agrees that the starting point, Anach Rishayna, is, it has to be yours. Everyone agrees what I'm watching is not really mine. But Kum Teteshev then says, Kabbalah Sacharias is also considered to be sufficient to be offered by Rabbi Motzim. So the Gemara in Daf Hamad Beis wants to understand that din of Kabbalah Sacharias and branches way, way out, way beyond the parameters of Hilchos Chametz to understand, well, what's that general take on Kabbalah Sacharias and something? When I have a chayfet in my rishos, that according to the regular rules of Dina Mamas, it's not mine. It doesn't say Sobolovsky on the registration. It's not really mine. On the other hand, I have a chayfet on this item. If something happens to this item, it's going to cost me a pretty penny. Is that considered to be mine or not? So that's what the Gemara here references in Machlekes HaTanoim that appears in the seventh parak of the Kama. The Machlekes revolves around a term, a very important term called Davar HaGerem LaMamon. Is Davar HaGerem LaMamon K'mamon Dami? Or Davar HaGerem LaMamon Lav K'mamon Dami? Now again, forget about Chometz for a minute. Kol HaTorah Kula. I have something which I really truly don't own, but the loss of this item is going to cost me. I'm going to have to pick up the tail for the loss of this item. Does the fact that it's a Gerem LaMamon, the fact that its loss will cost me money, is Dina K'mamon? And therefore, in Kol HaTorah Kula, when the halacha requires ownership, this suffices. This is considered to be an ownership. This is considered to be a chayfet that's mine, because it's a davar gerem l'mamon. What do I say? No, davar gerem l'mamon, k'mamon davar. So where was the original machlekes between Rav Shimon and Rabban? Who remembers? What was the original machlekes? What? The kotcher. So the Mishnah, the end of the seventh parak of Bava Kama, quotes the machlekes atin. Follow machlekes atin. There's a din of a ganav. A person steals something, he gets caught, so he has to pay kefil. If he ups the ante a little bit, and he shechts it, or he sells it, then he's in big, big trouble, then he's in even super-duper trouble, then he has to pay dollar, hey, depending on the shor and etc. It's psuk right out of Pashas Mishpat. So the baseline din of kefil, and then there's the higher level knas of dollar behay. The only time that I have to pay Kefil Dabhei, the Torah says, V'gun Rebeis Eish, that I stole something that belongs to the Nignav. If the item doesn't belong to the Nignav, so what's for Kefil? It's for Dabhei. So that's the possible V'gun Rebeis Eish. Beis Eish doesn't just mean it's physically in the person's house. V'gun Rebeis Eish means it's halachically in his bailus. It's for that reason that the Mishnah says that if I steal Kachim, Mibes Ish. Somebody was makdish an animal to make some mikdash, to bring the korban. So I'm not going to be chayav kefil for that. Now, truth to be told, the Gemara actually has two different makaras for that din. The Gemara has one din re'eu v'lo shel hekdesh, but another mibes ish v'lo beis hekdesh. So let me share and discuss why you need both. But that's not our topic right now. So the starting point is, if I steal kachim, so I'm not going to be chayav to pay. I'm not going to pay beis hamikdash. I'm not going to pay this guy because it's not his. It comes to Bishimon and says, wait a second, hold the phone. It's up to Bishimon. They had a guitar on Bishimon. So it's up to Bishimon. Bishimon's sitting in the cave. He's sitting there for years and years, sitting and trying to contemplate this did. And Bishimon says, wait a second. Sometimes you can have a situation where a behemoth is a korban, it's kachim, but the loss of this animal is going to cost the makdish. The base ish is going to cost them a lot of money. What does it mean? There are two different ways for a person to obligate themselves to bring a korban. There's what's called the ned and what's called the nedava. So the Mishnah says there's a difference between the two. What's the difference? If a fellow says, Harei alai to bring a korban oilam, nobody asked him to bring the korban. He volunteers, Harei alai oilam. I'm accountable for myself a personal obligation to bring a korban oilam. And then I go ahead and I designate an animal to be used to be yaitzim and neder. And something happens to the animal. What do I have to do? I bring a new one. Why? Because I took a personal obligation. Harei alai oilam. But what if I didn't originally say harei alai oilam? I said harei zu oilam. I singled out at the very beginning that this animal didn't from chafetz. This animal should be a korban oilam. So then, mesa nignav, potom. because I was never mechayev myself to bring a korban. I was machdish this animal. Something happened to this animal. It's not my problem. So that's the first mishnah. It's the mishnah beginning of Maseches Kinyan. That sometimes you phrase something with a harei alai. Sometimes you phrase something with a harei zo. If it's harei alai, you chayev yachrayas. If it's harei zo, you part of an achrayas. So comes Rabbi Shimon and says, if Reuven was makabel upon himself a neder to bring an oilah, and then he put aside this animal to be yotzei that chiyah, and then the animal gets stolen, that's stealing. And that subsequent shechting or selling, whatever the ganav is going to do, that's going to cost the machdish a pretty penny. Because kol zman that the animal was around, he had an easy way to get out of his neder. He was just going to give this animal up and finished. Now that the animal is gone, he now becomes chayav yachrayus. He's got to make up the loss. So that's a huge loss. That's a big hefset bomber. That's what's called a davar gerv l'mam. So kum to b'shimen and zokta zoi, davar gerv l'mam ke mam adam. And therefore, the ganav has to pay the makdish kefal. Even though he didn't really steal his animal. He stole a hekdishtik animal. That's what they did of davar gerv l'mam ke mam adam kiksa. That's Rabbi Shimon's understanding. And the Rabbanan say, l'hoyot v'mi yelam. The Rabbanan say, ownership is defined by ownership. It's not defined by gerv l'mam. So comes the Gemara in Pesachim at Avnim and Beis and says, oh, that machlekes ha-tanoi between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan, that makes a lot of sense now vis-a-vis by Rabbi Matzah. Why is that? Because l'chora, to be over by Rabbi Matzah, it has to be yours. L'yura l'cha, it's got to be yours. Now I have Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown's a non-Jew. I have John Brown's chomet sitting in my house. And I was mekabel acharayas on it. If something happens to it, I'm going to have to pay Mr. Brown back. Can we say with a straight face, that's called my chomet? Is that called shulchan? So the question depends on the machlokes of Shimon the Rabban. According to Shimon back in Bava Kama, that says, davar gerv l'mam ke mam adam, and that's enough bailos, the acharayas is enough bailos to create a chi of kefal, chi of dal behe. So too, a chrayus is enough of a chiyuv, enough of a din moment to create a chiyuv by Rabbi Motzi. So according to Bishimin, the din of Kabbalah Chrayus makes a lot of sense. The din of Davar Gerv, the moment of Bava Kama, impacts on Pesachim. But according to the Rabbanan who hold, l'hayu dvar me'ilam, according to the Rabbanan who hold, the Davar Gerv, the moment is Nishkim Amon, so according to the Rabbanan, why am I everybody Rabbi Motzi? So that's what the Gemara says. Hanich le b'shimin. El Rabban ma'ik l'meimar. What does the Gemara answer? No, what's the Gemara's answer? First lashon of the Gemara, what? It's exerza kasa lo deskei kashus. Because the Torah speaks about lo yimotze. It doesn't mention the word l'cha. That's a giloi that sometimes you can be over even without owning it. So when all the dust settles, the Gemara says that everybody agrees. Allah Tanoim subscribed to this din of Kabbalah Sechrayis is a mechayba by Rabbi Motzei. The machlokes of Bishimon the Rabbanan is this part of the regular Klali HaTeira? Is this part of our regular Chayshim Mishpat? Or is there something that was this Chadish here? So according to Bishimon, nothing was this Chadish. It's the plain, simple din of Davar Gerv L'mam, finish, Gemara, end of discussion. Whereas according to the Rabbanan, it's not the regular din. Davar Gerv L'mam is type of lafke moment. It's not a mechayb of kef mandal behei. There's a quirk, there's a Chiddush HaTeira. So when all the dust settles, Bava Kama remains Bava Kama, machlokes HaTanoim. Pesachim is agreed upon by everybody. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's the same sugya. According to Rabbanan, it's talking two different sugyas. One is goes with the regular cholim of Kol Tarkul of Dinim Amenis, and one is the Chiddush HaTorah LeGabei by Rabbi Yehuda. It's Ad Kan Divrei Gemara, at least the first Lashon Gemara in the bottom of the Amenis. So as we started out the shiur by saying, it is clear that we cannot intelligently understand this sugya. We cannot begin to address this sugya of Kabbalah Sechrayus by Chometz, unless we really, really have a clue what Davar Gerv L'mam is and what is not. Because the Gemara is definitely connecting the dots. There is a very real connection. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's the same sugi. And even according to Rabbanan, it's not quite the same sugi because of a pasuk, but there's no way you can learn Pesach from Hamad Beis without really truly understanding what's going on in the machlokes of Shimon and Rabbanan. So let's figuratively close the Gemara's Pesach now and open up the Gemara's Bava Kama a little bit and try to understand a little bit what's going on. I don't have a Rabbanan Kerb, so everyone has a sheet for me. You got extra sheets? Okay. Go ahead. So we're basically much of our discussion about Davar Gerv L'mam is going to revolve around the comparison and contrast to another principle in Dvarim Mamonos. And depending on what you think the relationship between these two klolim is going to impact greatly on our discussion. Let's leave the sugya of Geneva for a moment. Let's go back to regular standard Bava Kamma. First half of Bava Kamma talks about mazik. So a mazik, your property, makir nefesh behem yishomena, adam a mazik is chay, no question about it. If I break your arm, I'm chayv, that's called a chayv b'chaveroi. If I smash your car, I'm called a redim b'mazik, mom b'chaveroi. So there's no question of a mazik is chayv b'chaveroi. It's one of the 24 of us. This is not even a discussion, right? Adam a mazik, fine. But Mark quotes a very, very famous machlekes ha-tanoim. If I cause you a hefset moment in the following manner. You have a document, you have a shtar chayv, that says that Reuven owes you $1,000. I go ahead and I burn that shtar chayv. So if shtar chaveri, you are fuming because now, if Reuven would be a nice guy and would pay it back at a minute's one, Reuven's not such an honest guy. So Reuven says, I'm sorry, well, I'm not paying. Where's the IOU? Where's the document? I don't see it. I ain't paying a penny. So you are fuming at me. You come to me and you say, you burnt my shtar chayv? What's your claim against me? You owe me what? How much are you claiming? $1,000, right? A minute ago I had a shtar chayv that was worth $1,000 and now I have a pile of ashes. So you owe me $1,000? I respond to you, what? I was mazik. Your chov? What does that mean? I burnt a piece of paper. How much does a piece of paper go for in the market? I don't know, 3 cents? Make a pile of, make a package of loose paper. Figure out how many pieces you get for a dollar? Worth a nickel. I'm more than happy to pay back a nickel. So you say, what do you mean a nickel? You cost me $1,000. And I say, I caused you $1,000 of loss, really? So that's very, very indirect. It means I burned your paper, and now your paper cannot be used to go to Beis Din and collect $1,000. That's very, very far removed. We could even use a word in Hebrew to describe that called goreim. It's a goreim, a hefset moment. I was given you a hefset moment. So the nizak is screaming, You were going to be right, and now you better pay for it. And I say, I'm sorry, I'm not chayv for goyim. I'm only chayv for derech makir nefesh behem yishomena. Means if I smash a car, I'm chayv. But if I caused you a hefset moment down the line through 15 steps removed, does the goyim hefset? This nishkin mazik. So that was a famous machlekes in Rabbi Meir under Rabbanan. And that's what's called what, Rabbi say? What's the famous term for that? That's called dita degarmi. Okay? That's called dita degarmi. So the Gemara, the third of the Marmachemah, says, Amar Rava, Sereshtosh, Amar Potter. Generally in New York, call him Enoch. Rava was of the opinion that Dina the Gemara is Potter. That when I burnt your paper, your Shtar Chayv, I just have to pay for the paper, nothing more, nothing less. And the Gemara says that Rava's statement was the Machlekes of Tanoim between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanim. Rabbi Meir said, Doin Dina the Gemara. Rabbi Meir's opinion was, no, we would make you pay the full $1,000. And the Rabbanan held, lo dan dina begarmi. We do not make you pay the full amount of money. So now the question becomes, what is the relationship between these two sugyas that we have in front of us? We have two sugyas of Bava Kamma, 20 plus blot apart, and they're both using the same shorish of gimel resh mem. Remember, there's a diktok, right, the shorish? Otio, gimel resh mem. One has the phrase, davra gerim lamamakim amadam, and one has the Aramaic word, dina begarmi. But it sounds like it's basically the same fundamental question. Namely, when we're trying to size up Hefzid Mum, when we're trying to size up who owns something, we're trying to size up what Hefzid, what Hefzid took place, do we take into consideration things, causes, secondary causes, third level causes, or do we focus on the here and now, right now? Let's say this Gemara is worth $20. It is intrinsically worth $20. So if someone would come and destroy my Gemara, they would have to pay me $20. That's other mafazim. When you have these kinds of situations where the item per se is not really worth anything, the item per se really doesn't belong to you. It's not subject to Geneva. It's not subject to Kesha. It's not subject to Hesed. But this item sets into motion a whole chain of events. Does the halacha accept that chain of events? Or do we say, no, that's a... It's too far removed. The halachas not mesiachesus to that. So that seems to be the same machlokes. One machlokes is playing out Nuchas Masik, Sar Shar Shachavir, right? And the other sig is playing out in terms of Hilchas Kefal and Dalvei, he's begun to catch him in base of Ayla. It seems to be really the identical sig. It seems to be Kimat the same sig. Of course, both of these sigs are setting the stage for Davar Gamma Mamun and Psacham Davar Mevei, the same kind of a Shaila. Right now, I don't really own the Chametz, but if something will happen to the Chametz, it's going to end up causing me money, so there's a 15 steps along the way. Is that something we have to reckon with? Is that something that the Halacha is the Shechesus to enough? So it sounds like it's all the same sugya. Whatever you think in the Machlokes of Bishim and the Rabbanon will be the same what you think about the Machlokes of Meir and the Rabbanon. Everything's going to be the same. So that's what the Gemara starts out with in Bava Kamma on the fourth Inner Ramakramis. The fourth in the Ramakramis of Bava Kamma said, Chesem Abayim is Amar Avdimi Bachanina. Had the Rabba, that which Rabba said that we pass in Dina the Gemara's Potter, Machlokes of Bishim and the Rabbanon, it's totally on the Machlokes of Bishim and the Rabbanon. Rabbi Shimon, the Yama, Dabra Gram, the Mama, Kim Mama, Dabra Mechayev. Rabbi Shimon, back in Bava Kamma, the seventh parak, who says, the God of Kotchim, Shachai, Bechuson, is Chayev. So he is of the opinion, Dabra Gram, the Mama, Kim Mama, Dami. So therefore, he would also hold, the Dagami is Chayev. But the Rabbanan, the Yama, Dabra Gram, the Mama, Lav, Kim Mama, Dami, Lam, Mechayev. But the Rabbanan who say that it's Lav, Kim Mama, Dami, would not be Bechayev. So Rav Dimi Bechanina says, well, I would have voted for him. I would have said, Rav Dimi Bechanina is right. It's the same sugya. Might have to mean whether it's Aramaic Didagarmi or whether it's Hebrew Davagir in the Mob. It's the same Shaila. Might have to mean when we're dealing with Mazik, we're dealing with Gnevis and Kekim. It's all the same sugya. The basic question is, how much do you focus on the here and now, and how much do you look down the line, down the pipe of things being gay or Chesed Babel? So comes the Gemara and says, no, it's not necessarily true. Maskev Lev Hunabred of Yeshua, it's not true. There's a whole example of what that means. The Gemara continues, three lines in the bottom, towards the end, but Davash any karma with me amina. So if Rabbi Yeshua says that, you have to be very, very careful when you're Madame Milsum Milsum, when you compare things. This is a lesson for life. Very often people compare things. And they extrapolate from one case to another, and they think this is the same as this. And then if you look at it a little bit more carefully, you realize, they're very different from one another. What is the feature that, or demarcation, what is it that differentiates between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon by Garmi, Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon by Ganif Kotchum? What is the Nakuda? So most of the difference is very, very simple. By Behemoth, the Behemoth is Kotchim. At one time, this animal used to be Mamun. At one time, this was real Mamun. This was the real Makor. Now what happened? I was Makdish the animal. And now the animal's not really mine anymore. And now we're trying to be done. Can we, when the fact that the animal is, the loss of the animal is going to cost me a loss of money, can we still consider that animal to be mine? So Rabbi Shimon HaKazach, yeah, and the Rabbanan said, Nisht. But the underlying principle was, it was Ikara Mom. This animal, at one time, was a Cheftefen Mom. At one time, this animal was Bible, was under my Bible, was under my domain. And now the question is, something's changed. I was Makdish it. Now the question is, but I still have a Gram moment from it. So can we say that the fact that it's a Davar Gram moment somehow keeps my level of Bialas alive? So that's what Rabbi Shimon said, yeah, and the Rabbanan said no. But by the case of the burning of the document, this piece of paper was never worth $1,000. It was never, ever intrinsically worth $1,000. Its whole value to say that it's worth $1,000 is because of Geirim. So here Geirim is trying to create the Shabbos, trying to create a Hefsim, to create a Din Mamon. Who says that a Geram can create a Din Mamon? A Geram can prevent the Din Mamon that existed, pre-existed, from disappearing. But Hecha Pesa, that a Geram Mamon can create a Chiyav Mamon in the first place. So that's when the Gemara parts ways, when the two sugyas part ways. So Rav Huna Rav Yeshua got the last word into the sugya. That's what we're going to assume. Last Amara that talks wins. In the debate, in the mind, he got the last word and no one responded. So if we had to make a hierarchy of which is more mamonis, which is more bias, which is more dino kemamai, between the two scenarios, the case of the shtar chayiv or the case of the kachim, what would we say at the end? Which one is probably more mamon? Which is more nikah mamon? The korban, the kachim was more, because the kachim was the korban. So if we had a blackboard here, which we don't, and if we had our good old Talmud back from the days of who? We have to make an inequality of the board, which is more than what? We need Weinbach, right? We need Weinbach back for the new Tamidim. We had a fellow in a Shia about 10 years ago or so. His name was Weinbach. Memory slips me what his first name was, but he was the one who developed for our Shia the Weinbach principle. Inequalities. It goes back to the good old days when we used to, remember those days, guys? We had a blackboard, we used to actually write, we used to walk around, get my exercise. Now I'm getting a little gaining a few weights, got some weight these days, I'm going to walk around as much. But in the old days, we had a blackboard, and I would draw, whenever I wanted to highlight two different things to show, this is more or less than something else, so we would always make our little sideway carrot. And one time I did it, and I blanked, and I couldn't remember, back to first grade, whether the point of the carrot is the one that points to the high one or to the low one. And I'm standing there on the board with my math marker, and trying to remember my first grade math teacher, the most yukna, nearly the now. And as I blanked at the moment, so Weinbach said, Rebbe, the point points to the lower of the two. And the big fat part at the end is the bigger one. It's a good way to remember. The little point points to the lower one. The big fat end opens up to the bigger one. That's what he said to me. So I said, thank you so much. I appreciated that. And then from then on, I was able. So if we had Blackboard, we had Weinbach here, and we had two things. We had Rabbi Shimon's Kachim and Rabbi Meir's Seref Shtereisev. There would be no question of who Rebbe Yeshua got the final word in. And the greater the Nemamonis, the more Naita Tabaylos, is Rebbe Shimon above and beyond Rebbe Meir. Ad Kan, the Rebbe Mamonim. Everyone saw these Mamonim Kermis as easy stuff. We haven't said anything yet, right? Everyone's ahead of us already in the Mamonim Kermis. Give or take. Yeah, good. This is just getting ourselves warm. If you think that we're only going to read Gemaras together, we got a lot more to do today. But we're it's also a good thing. Gemara la bola da vazet dayenu, just to read the Gemara is also good. Well, Zach is asking a very loaded question, because Zach is living in a world of 2021, where there's legal tender and this currency and this paper money, in the free of the Kedairis, that didn't exist. You walked around with your gold and your silver, and paper money was brought to us from China, I think, in the 1000s or something. So that's a whole other world. Okay, we can't even address the legal tender anymore. So basically, back to our story. So it sounds like everything you said now is we just read a few gemaras, read a gemara, saw them together, read a couple of gemaras, but wonderful. But the sugya doesn't end here. The sugya actually begins here. With a complicated Gemara in Bava Kama, the Fine Aleph. Very, very complicated sugya, with a complicated Taisus. Let's see if we can begin to put things into perspective and start to create some problems for us. Now we only have simple stuff. Let's try to make things more complicated. The Gemara in Bava Kama and Merubah is talking about the intricacies of Ta'ala Behei, Tevech HaMoicher. So we said, in order to be Chayev for Kefel, you have to steal something that belongs to somebody else. This animal was worth a lot of money. I stole it from Reuven. Then to Buddha, I went in, I shechted it, and I sold it. That's a terrible thing. So I'm chayav all of it. So comes the Gemara and talks about the following scenario. What would the din be if I shechted, I was teveyach, ashore, but happens to be ashore nisko. Happens to be ashore that was nigra dino already that's chaymisa, already killed someone. It already had a Gemara did his chaymisa. And we all know, what are one of the ramifications of a shor haniskol? Once it's nigmar din, what's the din? It's also about no. So nobody can really shecht it anyway. Nobody can really do anything with it anyway. And I go ahead and I steal this shor haniskol. It wasn't yet niskol. It was nigmar din only sabro, but that's pretty much the same thing for all practical purposes. So I stole the shor haniskol. V'tov chay. Am I going to be chayev for Dal Bhana. So the Gemara in Baba Kama quotes Machlek Satanoi, and there's one lone Tana that says yes, Yechai, Rabbi Meir. Remember that name. The Hilik Tana Rabbi Meir says Yitaka Chayef. So Gemara says that's ridiculous. It can't be. It is lo yitochein to say the yichayev. Why? Who don't? You guys don't have enough to know why. Why is it impossible to say yichayev?
Tosser b'hano.
Tosser b'hano. Lav demari ketavach. It doesn't even belong to him. Can you only suri hano? It's a humorous statement we learned in the Pesach, because we got a lot to talk about that. But the Gemara's simple reading, the Gemara is, Lav demari ketavach. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? On the sixth day of the Kemesh, Niskal, he's surrounded in it. What's Rav Meir say? Lav demari ketavach. So comes Rava and says, with an Evi Azal Kimpa, convoluted, complicated scenario to explain how could the Hilik HaTanya Rav Meir say such a wild thing that HaTeveach Shahniskal is Chai of Dalva. It can't be. The simple case cannot be true. Let's say if Reuven owns an animal, the animal killed someone, Bezim was Gemedina on it, and then Shimon comes and steals it and checks it. There's no way Rav Meir could ever say with a straight face, Chai of Dalva. Love the market talk. It can't be. It's impossible. So what is the case? Everyone got to the sixth day of Rav Meir ready? Everyone got there? It's so complicated. Moshe says the following case. Reuven has an animal. He owns an animal. And he gives the animal to Shimon to watch it. So we're already going to come. We already have a mafkin in the shed. So Shimon's the shayner on this animal. So already learning about Mitzvah. Right back in mafkin, pek shayner. Right? We got Shimon's the shayner on Reuven's animal. And now we move quickly back into Baba Kama. I told you we'd learn Ezekiel today. So we go back to Baba Kama. What happens? This shore goes ahead and what? And no? And it's Negev. Somebody kills someone. So what do we do to the shore right away? We have a Gemara Din on the shore. And the shore is found to be a Shor Hanisko. So we give out the Psak that it's Chayef. Right? So far, so good? Okay? So we give a psak that the shore is chayav. Comes Levi and steals the shore. So remember, we got a lot of people here. You only need that board for today. Reuben was the original owner of the shore. Shimon is the shomer of the shore. And Levi is the ganav of the shore. I didn't tell you it's going to be an easy case. Levi steals the shore. And to boot, what does Levi do? Levi shechs the shore. So now comes the mayor and says, in that crazy scenario with three guys here, Levi can be chayav dal behei. Who's Levi can be chayav dal behei to? Catch this one. To Shimon, the shomer. Why? Because true, a shor hanisko really is not owning. You can't really own a shor hanisko. That's true. Shor hanisko is about, no, it's not the market of. But that shor hanisko, its presence is going to save Shimon money. Its absence is going to cause Shimon significant money. So it's in Shimon's best interest for that animal to be intact. Because the minute that animal disappears, it ends up getting shechted by Levi, that's going to cost Shimon a pretty penny. How is that going to cost Shimon? Why is that? So Gemara says for the following. There is a machlekes HaTanan, Rabbi Yaakov and the Rabbanon, about if a shomer was watching an animal, and it goes in the gores and it gets nigmar din on it, and it's also no. Does the shomer have a right to say to the mafkin, Rabbi Yishe Cholofanecha? Does he have a right to return the animal to the mafkin the way it is? It's also no. Or do I say, what a joke is that? Rabbi Yishe Cholofanecha, what am I going to do with it? The patient's about to take it in 10 minutes from now. You better pay me back. You're a shomer, you owe me money for what the animal's worth. So it is beyond the scope of that discussion right now to analyze why Rabbi Yaakov and the Rabban had such a machlekes, but trust me on that one. So Rabbi Yaakov, the Hilik HaTanya Rabbi Yaakov held that Omalo Bishra Nerech Cholofanecha. Omalo Bishra Nisqal Rech Cholofanecha. That the Shomer has a right to say Harech Cholofanecha. Oh, well, let's not lose sight of the case. Again, let's chaza for a second. And Reuben on the shore. Reuben gave it to Shimon to watch. The shore went ahead and got engored, turned itself into a Shor Nisqal. Reuven is very, very annoyed right now, but Shimon's thrilled. Why is Shimon thrilled? Because he's got an easy way out. What's his easy way out? What's he going to do? What's Shimon planning on doing? He's planning on being a real nasty guy and handing the shore and just go back to Reuven and wishing him well, Zagazut, and saying what? Three magic words, what? So Shimon is all ready to do that terrible, terrible thing. But the Mishnah says, Yaakov and Kazok, you're allowed to do that. And then Levi enters into the picture. And he steals the shore in Shechtze. And now, once he steals the shore in Shechtze, what can Shimon no longer do? It's dead. So that act of Geneva that Levi did against the Shomer now cost Shimon a pretty penny. And now Shimon has to pay back Reuven Gevald Geshrigan, the original owner, the original price of the shore. He's a Shomer. That tide of Eshchol Fidech was pulled out from under him. So Shimon has to give back now the entire value of what the show was. So Shimon is fuming at Levi. And he takes Levi to a din teir. And he says, you Levi, but you are shechting that shore. You caused me a lot of loss. What does Levi say? What's the key word in that claim? You what?
Caused.
You caused. You were geirin. Levi says, sorry, Charlie. Dover geirin moment is laf kemoment dummy. And what does Shimon turn back to Levi and say? Sorry, Charlie, to you. What? Dover geirin moment is kemoment dummy. And now Shimon and Levi are fighting it out. So Shimon is claiming, he's claiming, Dover geirin moment kemoment dummy. Right? You were geirin moment. And Levi saying, never go wrong, lock him on the dummy. So come to Tana Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said one cryptic statement. Rabbi Meir says, there is a hechetimtza of a geinef shahaniskol that has to, the tavach has to be dalbehem. That's all Rabbi Meir said. We have one record, we have one line, one snip of a line out of Rabbi Meir's bismedrish. That geinef shahaniskol v'tavach hechayav dalbehem. So the Gemara says, it is impossible to understand that kipshutai because lav demar ketavach. Shechting a shohanisko of the owner is meaningless because he doesn't own it anymore. The only way, the only wild way to create a scenario where there is a chiyuv d'alvehei on ganav shohanisko v'tavchai is in this crazy convoluted scenario where there was a mafkid, there was a shomer, and I'm paying d'alvehei, I'm not really on the cheftza of the animal itself. I'm paying d'alvehei on the geir m'mamon. Similar to how Rabbi Shimon says, if you're going to have kachim shechav yachim yusim betavcha, you chayv peda obehei. So a shor hanisko is the halachic equivalent of kachim shechav yachim yusim. But of course that's only true if you buy into the program of the Ram Kibam Adami. What else must you also buy into? You must buy into what? You have to like Rabbi Yaakov. If you hold like the Rabbanan that ain't no mimisur hana, ain't no mimish chofanecha, then it's not the program of the Ram anymore. Then Shimon didn't have that option out. So the only way to make any sense out of Rabbi Meir's sheet, Rabbi Meir chut gezok, you have to pay dalbehei. And there is no way under the sun to explain a kipshuto. It's crazy. It's absurd to explain a kipshuto because it's not the market of it. So the only way to explain Rabbi Meir's cryptic statement is this crazy, wild, convoluted scenario. Provided that Rabbi Meir buys into two sheetas. What are the two sheetas Rabbi Meir must hold like? He must follow Rabbi Yaakov, and Omer Bisur, Omer Bisur, and his Kavish Chofanecha. And also has to hold the Rabbi Shimon, the Dover Gamon Kamodom. If he subscribes to both of those shitas, then we're good to go. So that's exactly what the Gemara says in Bava Kama. It took me 25 minutes to explain, it takes about 3 lines. So it's finally the Gemara says in Bava Kama, the 7th of Bava Kamas, the 6th of Bava Kamas, the Gemara says that Shoah Niskel Yisrael, no, you know, how could Rabbi Meir say, Chayab of the Marketovach? So the only way to make sense of Rabbi Meir is to stick him into Rabbi Yaakov's camp vis-a-vis Omer Rosh Chodesh and stick him into Rabbi Shimon's camp as well. My son Meir Yaakov was always excited whenever he got to this Gemara. This Gemara, same Gemara appears in Bava Kama, appears in Ksubas, the identical Gemara. So every time he gets this Gemara, he gives me a call. He says, Rabbi Meir, Savlak Rabbi Yaakov. Gemara says, Rabbi Meir and Yaakov have to hold the same sheet, or else the Gemara doesn't make any sense. His name is Meir Yaakov. If I would have named him Meir Yaakov Shimon, it would have been even nicer, but still there. No, who's got a cash? Who's got a cash? The Gemara said, Rabbi Meir only survived. That one snip of information from Rabbi Meir's Bismedrish only makes sense because Rav Meir is forced to the corner. He must hold the Rabbi Yaakov. He must hold the Rabbi Shimon. Do we have any way of knowing Rav Meir holds the Rabbi Shimon? Not a clue. Do we have any documentation Rav Meir holds the Rabbi Shimon? No way. Rabbi said, "What are you going to do?" Rabbi said, "Go come up with a better opinion. Go come up with a better pshat." So Rabbi said, "I'm willing to go on record." Rabbi lived 20 years after Rav Meir died. Said, "I'm willing to say the only way to make any sense of this Rav Meir's brayso is sell the Rabbi Yaakov, sell the Rabbi Shimon." That's all Rabbi could do for us. Who wants to cash in? Better than the Shitasa.
Isn't this like Rav Dimi Bar Chanina? Again, Chaguna Braid, Rav
Yosef? Well, we're getting there. Fret Taisus, I understand. We know that Rabbi Meir believes in Dina Degarmi. That's the Gemara of Kufa Bavkam. That's the Feirish. That was not up to discussion. Rabbi Meir believes Dina Degarmi is Chayav. What did Rav Huna Rabbi Yeshua say? Which is better? Which is more of a Chayav? Which is more reason to believe Yechayav moment? Remember Weinbach? Remember, if I have two things on the board, I have Davar Gam the moment of Rabbi Shimon's Kachim, and I have Sarish the Reis of Rabbi Meir's Din of the Gamim. Which is a greater Mechayev? What was the Gemara Svara? Which is more Chayev? Which is more of a reason to be Mechayev? What did Davar Gam the moment have over Din of the Gamim? Davar Gam the moment was what? Was me Karolat? It was Mamet at one time. It was a real cow. This was a real live cow. Not all that long ago. Now, we're trying to be done. Now it lost its Mamet to it because it was Hukta Shemayim. So we're trying to salvage the Bailus on it by invoking the Vagrama Mamet. So that's pretty good. That makes a lot of sense. Did it to Gamni, you're taking a piece of paper that was worthless, is worthless, will always be worthless. I want to put a price tag of $1,000 on it. So Gemara said, what did Rav Huna Rabbi Yeshua say? No, Rav Huna Rabbi Yeshua said that just because Rabbi Shimon said what he said doesn't necessarily mean you have to buy into Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon is much more posh than Rabbi Meir is. Didn't the Gemara say that? No, did I make that up? Didn't we read that together? No, can anyone remember? Didn't the Gemara say that in the fourth time of Mekabis? Maskev lo'ein with the Shammah said Rabbi Shimon never got the moment. Don't you got a moment? But by Dosh, any kind of moment, so just because somebody buys into Rabbi Shimon doesn't mean you buy into Rabbi Meir. But Rabbi Sai, if you do buy into Rabbi Meir, then what by definition must you buy into? Then you buy into Rabbi Shimon. Anyone done Shachas this morning? Anyone say Rabbi Shmuel Leiman? Anyone heard of Kavach Leiman? Madach, if you accept Rabbi Meir's very shvacha model of Goyrim, it's such a zashvacha model because the shtar was worthless from day one, and still, Zabt Rabbi Meir, it's Dino Kilomen, Gami is Chayiv. So Madach Rabbi Meir bought into that model, Kal Vachaymer, how much more so should he buy into Adavar Gemma Mammon, where it's Ikara Mammon? No, what's the Kashi on the Gemara? What's the Kashi on the Rabbah? What does Rabbah say in the sixth of the Ramakamis? What did Rabbah say? Rabbi said, I'm guessing, I'm hoping, I'm saying Zabt Rav Perkev Tehillim, that Rabbi Meir must have held a Rabbi Shimon. Do I have any proof that he held a Rabbi Shimon? No. Absolutely no proof. Rabbi Meir is not a Rabbi Shimon. Oh, Rabbi Meir must have held a Rabbi Shimon, because otherwise the Akib doesn't make any sense. What do you mean Rav is saying a Perkev Tehillim? It's obvious. Of course Rabbi Meir holds a Rabbi Shimon. I need Rabbi good morning to tell me that we hope and pray that Rabbi holds a Rabbi Shimon, and that Rabbi Meir holds a Rabbi Shimon. If Rabbi Meir holds a Rabbi Meir, then by definition, who must he hold like? What? If he holds a Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir holds a Rabbi Meir. If he holds a Rabbi Meir, who must he hold like? Mekav HaChaymer? Of course he holds a Rabbi Shimon. Not if you accept the lower standard of Grama, the lowest standard of Gerin, which is not Ikar HaMamon, even that's called the Mamon, according to the worldview of Rabbi Meir. Then Benad Kavachim, Ben Benesh Kavachim, you're going to buy into Rabbi Shimon. So why does the Gemara give such a powerful statement here? Why does the Gemara give such a non-committal statement? We hope and pray, we're saying Tehillim and hoping for the best, that Rabbi Meir holds a Rabbi Yaakov, holds a Rabbi Shimon. Of course he holds a Rabbi Shimon. Forget about him holding a Rabbi Shimon, he holds a Rabbi Meir. He holds a Rabbi Meir, by definition, he holds a Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara just said, Rabbi Meir, l'shitasai. The word didn't say, but it said, Ramel, she tossed it, the whole din of the Gani is chayav, so for straight, so he held a Rabbi Shimon. Why is the Gemara giving a guesswork? Maybe, maybe, Ken Zavi, help me pray, best shot available, maybe he holds a Rabbi Shimon. So that's how you have to read a Gemara. So, you know, when we, most people would read this Gemara, ourselves included, this Gemara about Baba Kama, we would spend so much time getting, it would take us an hour and you have to get the case down. Too many people, you got Reuven, Shimon, Levi, God, Shane, Azra. I can't even keep track of who's flying, coming and going. And then we have Rabbi Yaakov, we brought it from left field. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, hold it, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon. We said, Baruch Hashem, Shu. Baruch Hashem for the end of the story. Let's move on to the next level. But the Balei Taisa didn't learn Gemara like that. The Balei Taisa sat, and every line, every word, every letter, every nuance, every inference, every idea, every single thing, nothing missed the scrutiny of the Balei Taisa. The Balei Taisa in Baruch Hashem, the 7th of Ramakailis, the Lama learned the name of the Sarka Mishimi. Lame the Ramel the Treme. The Gemara should have simply said Ramel the Shitosai, not pitting on Rabbi Shimon. Ramel the Shitosai, the Dandim the Garmi, the Koshke in the Chaybet of Agam the Mammon. And he quotes the Gemara about Rahun Rabbi Shimon and Baba Kamat Adichas. And can Ramel the Chayb is Arish the Raisav? Yeah, Koshke in the Chaybet of Agam the Mammon. That's the Kosh. So it took us an hour to get to a Kasha of Tosis. We don't know how long it took Tosis to ask the Kasha of Tosis, gives us three lines, but it could have taken them days to formulate this Kasha. You have to think so much, you got to keep in mind Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yeshua, who's strong, Weinbach, who's better, more, less, no, so. And finally, when you fit together all the pieces of the puzzle, you come to the realization, hey, there's something missing in this equation. Is it really true? The Dover girl, the Momon of Rabbi Shimon is actually more Chayav than Rabbi Meir Sarish Darosov? Or is there a piece of this puzzle that's missing? So Rabbi Sari, don't forget, we are learning Pesachim of Hemet Beis. We are really, truly learning the Sigma of Rabbi Matzah. That's what we're learning this year. But we realize right away that you cannot begin to tackle the sugi of Kabbalah Sechrayas, of Ayravi Matzah, and Chomet Shal Goish, Kibbalah Sechrayas, without having a deeper understanding of Dover girl, the Momon. So we began to try to familiarize ourselves with the relevant Gemaras in Baba Kama at Dabagra the moment. So we first introduced the sugi itself, then we realized there was a machlekes amaroyim as to what the relationship between Dabagra the moment and Dina Dagami is. But now we realize there's a monkey wrench in the sugi, and that's the Gemara in Baba Kama the Fine Aleph. Because here the Gemara seems to undermine what it said so poshut and Daftari Ches. So depending on what the answer to Tosa's question is going to set the stage for our entire sugya. There's not one answer, there's not two answers, there are actually three different answers that Tosis presents. And that's going to set everything into motion to understand as to what Dover girl of the moment is, what is not, what Garmi is, what is not, the relationship between the two is, and how ultimately this is going to fall back and impact back on my Rebbe. So hopefully Mitzvah tomorrow will continue. So keep on going through this Tosis, knock away this Tosis, plug away this Tosis, Mitzvah tomorrow will continue.